by sinners. Eddie and Hayden are not qualified, are not pastors, but they have a passion for Christ and his teachings. Welcome everyone to The Obedience.
Yolo.
Yeah, there we go.
Is that better?
Yeah. Okay.
This is good, yes.
It's all right, we have nothing. Well, that part is broken.
We talk about Jesus Christ today, yes.
Yes. We do. Welcome back to another episode of Theolidiots, Biblical Conversations for Sinners by Sinners. I am Eddie Switek here with the fantastic Hayden Cobley.
That's
How
me.
You doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good, good, good. Had good service today. Sermon was really good. He was talking about evangelism and the different forms of evangelizing and, like, you know, going out and spreading the word. And
I love
if
that.
if we had figured out, he was talking about gimmicks and stuff. A lot of churches will have different, they try different gimmicks and different things to bring people in.
And, yeah.
And he's like, you know, cause if we had figured out the one solid way to do it, you'd think we'd do it, but everybody's different. Everything's, you know, different. And he's talking about Peter and I will make you fisher of men, and
mm-hmm.
About the, you know, when he first met Peter and that whole evangelical type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea of evangelism but it's so hard because there's times in the Bible where it says, you know, pray in quiet, you know, in private, and don't let anybody know that you're fasting and all this. And then there's also parts of the Bible that says, go out there and spread the word, you know. It's like,
yeah,
okay, what do I do? But I feel like a lot of times that can be really dangerous too, because some people can, like, I know when I wasn't a man, before I was a man of faith, if people tried to evangelize me, I'd be like, what, you think you're better than me? Like, who are you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's really hard to not come off that way. We had a similar service, not today, but a couple weeks ago, going over like the five-step prayer process and stuff like that. And
ooh, the five-step prayer process.
Yeah,
what's that?
I don't have it written down. Oh, actually, I do. I do have it in my phone. We'll go over that later. But he was talking about that and, like, praying over people and how those certain situations will just come to you. Like, it'll happen. You know, it could be like,
yeah,
you could be in a waiting room at your wife could be at, like, an OB appointment or something like that, and there could be a young girl pregnant there by herself, and all of a sudden you can see that she's struggling, and you're like, I'm going to pray for this girl. And you go over there and you could change her life by just praying over her, you know? And so that was what that whole service was about. But today's service was, it was pretty good. For those of you who don't know, Eddie and I go to different churches. He goes to a Lutheran church. I go to a non-denominational church. So that's why we're saying our services are different.
Yeah, we get different perspectives. So Hayden studies out of the NIV Bible, and I study out of the ESV. And so I like having this juxtaposition of ideas that are still saying mm-hmm. the same things, just coming at it from different angles.
Yeah, yeah. And I really like having a different perspective, because there's no teams in Christ, you know, so you're either with them or against them. But our service today was,
sorry, I was kind of like, oh yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Our service today, it really kind of hit home, because we're doing the podcast right now, sitting in my home office that I just finished building. And
oh yeah, it's beautiful.
This
is super nice. Hayden is much handier than I am. Like, I built the bar and did everything in my basement, but this looks much more finished and clean.
There's a lot of time and swear words that went into this, but I, you know, I retreat down here all the time, and I've got a pregnant wife and a 2-year-old son, and there's times where they're sitting on the couch and I come down here and I play video games and stuff. And our pastor today, he was talking, and he goes, you dads out here, I'm not condemning anybody, but there's dads out here, and I'm one of them that sometimes, you know, you don't want to sit on the couch or talk to your wife, or, you know, you're just drained. You want to retreat down to the basement, to your dungeon. He literally said, like, down to your basement. I looked at my wife. I was like, I feel attacked.
Yeah.
And,
no, I wouldn't feel attacked. I'd be like, see, pastor said it's all right.
yeah. So, and, you know, he basically just kind of pressed on the point of, when you do want to go down and retreat away from your family, because that's a common thing in men. They don't not necessarily run away, but they need their alone time and their space. Rather to, you said last podcast, pay attention to that tension. You know, so you have that tension, like, oh, should I be doing this? You know, yeah, it's very important to have your own alone time and your enjoyment, but at the same time, at what cost does that have to your family? You know,
there needs to be moderation.
Exactly. There's, yep.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like Tiffany sometimes gets upset, but I'll, you know, spend 3-4 hours with her watching a movie or TV or whatever have you. And then I'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to go downstairs for a bit now. And she's like, well, you don't want to spend time with me? I'm like, no, I'm just, I'm going to go spend time by myself now. And you just kind of, you have to have the balance. You can't.
It is. It's a hard line to walk, you know, and that compromises. That's what marriage is all about.
Yeah. 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 Finding the good give and take. And,
Yeah. Because I think, and my wife and I know very well that if I don't spend time with her, that we're both going to get irritated and kind of have this resentment. But if I don't get my alone time, that's also going to build some resentment and stuff, you know? So like, you know, you gotta walk that line to have that even distribution. I mean, I tell people all the time, I've only been married for 3.5 years. And I tell people that aren't married or people who have gone through divorce that I'm like, marriage is you have to work for it every single day.
Yeah,
you do. And it's not, I mean, that's not a bad thing. It's, you know, I love it. I love being married, but
yeah,
you got to work for it. You really do. If you want it, you got to work for it.
Yeah, it goes back to Proverbs 31, and when you're talking about servitude, and you serve your wife as God served the church, and she's to serve you as well. And that's, you know, if you made marriage into a competition of who can outserve each other.
Oh, it'd be horrible.
No, that would be the best thing. That would be the greatest thing ever.
You mean,
if
like,
you try to outserve
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
You know.
I thought you were saying like, oh, like I did more than, I like, oh, I took the trash out, so I don't want
to. You don't keep tabs.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you can do. No. But just selflessly serving.
Yeah.
How can I give to you?
Yep.
How can I give back to you?
Yeah.
Because I love you, and this is what, you know. And so I try, respect is earned, but it's not earned once. It's constantly earned every day.
Oh, exactly.
And if I can earn her respect and I can try to serve her to the best of my abilities each day, I know that every day is going to be better than the last. And you're right. It is extraordinarily difficult because servitude and giving away is completely contrary to our just natural, you know, instinct.
It is because everybody wants to look out for number one.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's what Jesus taught was serving, washing of the feet and giving and healing. And it was never about him. It was always about how can I help you? How can I better serve you? And that's a huge thing, is to try to do that for other people. Edification of other people as well.
Well, it's exactly, I don't know the verse. I can't pull it off the top of my head, but I think it's in Matthew or multiple of the Gospels where the woman comes in and she pours the very expensive perfume. Oh,
the oil, yeah.
Uh-huh, on Jesus' feet. And Judas and the other disciples are like, what are you doing? Like, we could use this for the church and money and for food. And he's like, what are you talking about? Jesus is like, guys, like, are you crazy? Like, do you not realize what she's doing right now? You know, and tells him like, oh, she's preparing me for burial. You know, this is the most beautiful thing anybody's ever done. And, you know, kind of like, that's 100% selfless service right there. You know, go spend your life savings on some oil to pour on Jesus's feet, you know? So, yeah. I mean, like that's the kind of servitude you need to have in a marriage. And it's not, we live in a society today where it's all me, you know?
Yeah. And so that, to tie that back, that's the thing, is that you do need to reset. You need to help yourself in enough so much that you can help other people. It's like when you get on an airplane and on the airplane, the flight attendant will tell you like, hey, put your own mask on before you get your kids or your spouse or whatever, because that, you can't help anybody else if you pass out.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there is that, you know, you should self-reflect each day. You should have that meditation. And even though it's not, you know, it may not be sitting in a quiet room, legs crossed and but, you know, down at the bar, watching a show or something, or just playing pool, just kind of, that is, to me, my meditation of just, let me get away, let me process some stuff and decompress so that I can come back refreshed the next day and serve you to the best of my ability.
Yep, I agree 100% because you can't. And I made a pact to myself at the beginning of last year. Well, kind of like when I came to Jesus, actually. So around beginning of February last year, I said, I'm working so hard all day. I was working like 50 hours a week, which isn't like a ton of hours, but you know, it's more than your average work week. And I was doing manual labor, busting my butt all day. And I'd get home and I'd try to give my family 100%, but my 100% at that point is equal to like my 20% when I'm at a full 100% capacity.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to stop running at work. I'm going to stop if I need to grab a tool, I'm going to stop running to grab it. I'm going to just start walking. I'm going to stop working so hard. I'm going to stop working so fast. And I was able to conserve that energy and put that energy into my family when I got home. And it made a huge difference.
Good.
You know, and now I'm at a position in my life where I don't have to work nearly as much, and I can spend that much more time with my family. You know, I only spend maybe 3 days a week at work, and so does my wife, and we get to spend all the rest of the time together.
Dude, that's awesome. So, that's really cool that you're in a position to do that.
I'm very fortunate to be able to do that, and it's awesome. Awesome. I don't have to work towards it as hard as some other people might have to, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very blessed in that aspect.
Well, good. Good. I know the light fell down. That's why we started giggling. Because we're children. We're like,
dangling.
Yeah. With the faith and family and trying to earn respect and serve. And there was something you said in the very beginning when you were going back to, when we were talking about evangelizing and talking to people about Jesus and stuff. And it's you know, when you're not in that mode and you haven't accepted Christ and you don't understand completely and you think people are out to get you.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to ask you, like, what do you call a group of lying, greedy, cheating, lustful, porn watching, tax dodging, racist, lonely, judgmental, angry people who eat too much, who drink too much, who medicate too much, who smoke too much, but gather every week because they believe Jesus is the light of the world and they need more light? Well, we call that church.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, you literally just described me.
Well, and that's the thing. That's it. Our whole reason for doing this is that we are all sinners. It is extraordinarily hard to repent and to believe and really go out and serve, but you're not alone. If you feel that way, if you feel lost, if you feel like, man, there's that hole in my heart, it's right there. Mm-hmm. It's crack open the Bible and start reading the gospel because you're going to understand, like, wow, you know, everybody hated Matthew. He was just doing his job, you know, but he was so put down and mm-hmm. worst of the worst. But like, you know, he follows Jesus and people kept saying, well, Jesus, why are you hanging out with these people? Like, these people suck. Why would you want it? He's like, that's who I'm looking for, man.
Yeah, literally,
Yeah, I'm looking for the down and out and for the people that have nothing else and the world has just been beating their head on, like, you know, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
To find that grace, to find that absolution within Christ.
Yeah, the whole point of Christ is just, you know, accepting people for who they are because everybody was made in the image of God. You know, it's like, you are beautiful because you were made in the image of God, and I love you because I can't love Jesus if I don't love you.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there are people I disagree with, but I still love them.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I don't have to agree with you, but I can agree to disagree. And a lot of people are like, oh, and we're not going to agree to disagree. But like, that's grace, and that's compassion. That, like, I can sit here and still love you for who you are, but not agree with the things that you have to say.
Yeah, grace is the only thing that it's a gift. You know, we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. God just loves you because he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's grace. And that's how we need to treat other people. It's like, I don't need you to do anything for me. I don't need you to like me or respect me even, but I'm going to share that grace that God gave me and love you just as much as I'd love anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really been the hardest thing because, again, like, it's really funny and nice to, like, insult people and make yourself feel better and put them down. And it's one of the hardest habits to break.
Oh, yeah. You ask Smeegs. I, for the first, I don't know, 10 years of our friendship, that was our friendship. It was literally me just dogging on him and just making fun of him, and then, oh, I'm just kidding, man, love you, haha, at the end, you know. And like, that's not a good way to be, you know. And I did those things thinking, oh, it's not that big of a deal, not thinking anything about it. And now looking back and thinking about it, I'm like, wow, that was like, I can't believe I said some of those things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you study psychology, there's a psychological aspect of the brain that the brain cannot take, sarcasm. It can't take sarcasm. It doesn't know the difference between don't and do. It just knows the thing you're telling it. So if you're making fun of somebody, it can't take a joke. It's literally sitting into their subconscious that, oh, I really am bad. Oh, I am fat. Oh, I'm a loser. I'm this. Even if you're just joking around, emotionally, they're like, ha, 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 ha. But like, back in the lizard part of their brain, they're like, wow, I do suck. Huh. Like, and that's, it's a huge thing. They've done studies on it. Like, really? Your brain can't take a joke. It literally thinks of, and that's why when you're trying to break a habit or something, and you keep thinking, don't do the thing, don't do the thing, all your brain hears is the thing. The thing,
yeah,
like, you know, you have to try to replace it with something better and think about the better.
I never thought about it that way. That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. So, little change of subject. So, do you think you should force your kids to go to church?
I think that you should talk about it. I think that you should introduce it. You know, and eventually when they're old enough to make their own decisions, they can do what they want. I do believe that, you know, you should make an effort at least to explain everything, and answer questions to the best of your ability. And if you don't know how to answer it, find somebody who can, and give them the tools to make their own decision. But you would hope, because there's so many people that I know that lose faith when they become an adult because it was pushed on them when they were kids. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to force anybody, but I just want to show you the way. Like, I want to show you, like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yep.
You know, and it's so I would like to do my best, and I don't want to force anything, but, you know, you talk about it. And I think leading by example is the best thing, is that if you truly show people, like, hey, have your manners, be nice to people, do mm-hmm. and serve and go. And I feel like that's going to come off more on your kids than if you're forcing it on them. You're going to be like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah.
Mom and dad go to church and this is how they treat people. Like, maybe I should go to church.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So in church today, our pastor was talking about it, and he said that before your kids can even talk, just start reading the Bible out loud when you're around them, you know, and let them see you reading the Bible. And like things like this, us doing a Bible podcast, like when my kids are a little older, they'll know that, hey, oh, dad's doing a Bible podcast, you know. And there's also so many different Bibles for every single age group as well.
Yeah.
So like, you can get a Bible for a three-year-old that this three-year-old's going to love to read, and they're going to know about Jesus without even like having to do the study about Jesus. You know, like when I came to Jesus, I didn't know anything about him. I just knew Jesus died on a cross. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
And I thought Moses walked on water.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was at work and I was just like, yeah, didn't Moses walk on water? And they're like, no, that was Jesus. I was like, oh, no,
Moses parted the Red Sea to escape the Egyptians.
And so
you're right. There was water.
Yeah, you're right. When you're a kid, you read these stories and stuff, and then you end up knowing all this stuff. By the time he's my age, he'll know more than I know at my age. And because I went through and I read all the Gospels 2 or 3 times, and I'm like, what? You know, and then a lot of the stuff, you know. And I watch a lot of different like podcasts and people like pastors talking and stuff. And I think, yeah, like you said, just giving your kids the tools and leading by example for sure is like the biggest thing. Because when I was a kid, my family didn't go to church, but my grandma was very Catholic, and she not forced me to go to church, but like forced us to sit down and pray and do all this and read this and do this, you know. And
they'll guilt you into believing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm not trying to bash Catholicism or anything like that, but there's a lot of Catholics who love Jesus and follow Jesus, and there's a lot of Catholics who are caught up in their rituals, you know?
Yeah.
And same goes for any denomination. You know, they're in any denomination, there's a lot of people who love Jesus and are living true to the way. And there's also people who are stuck on the traditions and their rituals, you know, and stuff that's not in the Bible and stuff that's just kind of thrown in there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The sacraments, I believe, need to be like that is tried and true. And that's, you know, coming down the Last Supper and eat my body and drink my blood. And that, I mean, that is.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah. That's a thing, tradition that needs to go. But there's a lot of plenary indulgences and dogma that is not needed and isn't real. There are laws made by man that do not coincide with Jesus's teaching.
Yep. Yes. And that needs to be portrayed to your kids as well. And there's a verse in Judges that says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, so after that whole generation had died, another generation grew up, so the generation after that, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So tying into like what we're talking about, that if you don't teach your kids God, nobody else is going to teach them about God unless you have that faith. The school's not going to do it, that's for sure, you know, unless you take them to a Christian school. And all it takes is one generation of non-believers to completely, like, almost eradicate the Christian faith.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it says right there. Obviously, it's a little far-fetched now, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, that just shows how important generational faith is and passing that faith, the wealth of the faith, onto your children.
So I'm reading the ESV version, too. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's wild that it just goes away. You know, if you're not actively participating or talking or anything.
Mm-hmm. It's like tying back to what we talked about earlier, it's like marriage. You know, faith is like marriage. You got to work at it every day.
Yeah. It's anything worth doing is hard.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, anything worth doing is hard.
And it needs to be consistent. Same thing like weightlifting, you know, you're training your body, this is training for your soul.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, yeah. It is. Yeah, you got to work out the spirit and the soul as well as the body.
Yeah. You wanted to talk about different study habits.
Yes. So
as we're teaching and we're talking, how do you go, like, what are your favorite study habits or what has helped you?
So when I had started, I didn't know what to do. You know, when I was like, where do I start?
You know?
And I was like, well, I'll start reading.
You don't know where to go. Go back to the beginning.
I was like, well, I'll just start reading the Bible. And then I started in Genesis and I got like a page in and I was reading the King James Version. And so I went on YouTube and I was like, how to read the Bible.
Yeah, King James is like Shakespeare, man. It's old English.
And everybody was like, okay, don't read the King James Version and don't start at Genesis. They were like, start in the New Testament. I was like, oh, okay. So I read the New Testament. I just read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then I was like, whoa, this is cool. You know, so then I started watching like Jesus-based TV shows, you know, like The Chosen or Son of God.
I know. I want to watch The Chosen.
The Chosen is so good. I've heard that.
I haven't seen that yet. It popped up on Amazon. I was like, oh, it's in my list. I need to watch that.
And like the Passion of the Christ. That's
something Tiffany, we watch every year for Easter.
Yeah, that's intense.
It's very visceral.
Yeah. But really when I started, all I did was just kind of watch those shows, read the New Testament, and listen like audiobooks of the New Testament and listen to different podcasts and stuff. As I became, I guess, more mature in my faith, I was like, okay, I'm going to start reading the rest of the Bible and actually start marking stuff. So I got colored highlighters that, like, each one symbolizes a different, like, category. You know, I have, like, one that's like, oh, you're talking about fasting and different types of sacrifice, like, in this one. So this one's pink, you know? So I highlight certain verses like that, and they just kind of stick better like that. And then I found myself not focusing on studying, not taking the time to be like, okay, I'm gonna take time to study God's word and pray, you know. I wasn't taking time. So that's when I joined the men's group at church. And then I
yeah.
I joined the disciple group, and then I started doing this with you. So now my Sundays look like church in the morning from 9 a.m. to almost 11.
Yeah.
And then this from between like 1 o'clock to like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And then my disciple group Sunday evening. So like my whole Sunday is just dedicated to God and talking about Jesus and
learning.
So that's my, I mean, it's not, I don't only do it once a week, you know, one day a week, but yeah. my Sunday is dedicated to that, at least right now at my, in my time
your,
of life.
Your primary study day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
This similar, it was podcasts and then reading through scripture, reading devotionals. But I'm very logical and kind of scientific, and I like to pick things apart and figure out how they work and why they work. And like you said, with reading the King James Version, even reading the NIV or the ESV, is still tricky.
Yeah, it is.
Because
it's an old type of poetry. The whole Bible, like there's different literary styles throughout the whole Bible that you're like, you have to swap the way you're thinking while you're reading it.
Yeah. 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 Yes. And the, what helped me was learning more about the actual history and what was going on in that part of the world and how those, how the locals like thought and acted and what, you know, between the Roman Empire and between, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar and like the whole, like what was happening in the history and what these sayings, because, you know, you'll hear stuff talk about, you know, Jesus talks about sheep and the flock and all this. Yeah. And you're like, yes, they are metaphors, but they're also literal because that's
there. You were trying to figure out who the audience was.
Yeah. 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 And so, because he would say things that didn't really make sense, but the audience that he was preaching to would have been like, oh yeah, wow, uh-huh. like that makes perfect sense, you know. And you mm-hmm. have to kind of look at it through that prism, and you know, to understand, like Paul was prosecuting Christians and killing them mm-hmm. and going and jailing and was going around, and but he was also a very learned, educated man who spoke different languages and had studied and came up with wealth. And then bam, on the road to Damascus, he sees this light and Jesus talks to him, and suddenly, like, yep. that dude flips a script, and who had for the past several years devoted his life to eradicating people that were not Jewish, is now promoting the way and promoting Christ and talking and going around and you know, establishing churches all through the Mediterranean and through Greece. And then so much so that he gets incarcerated. And, yep. you know, most of those letters he wrote was from prison. Mm-hmm. And yeah. just so for somebody who had that stature and were doing these things to just completely flip around, you're like, okay, like either he's batshit crazy or
God's real.
Yeah, like and there were so many instances of that, and then mm-hmm. there were a bunch of other secular documents and secular teachers and learned people back then that were like, well, yeah, like Jesus was real and this really did happen and he did die, and then like over 500 people witnessing him alive a week later.
Yeah,
you know, like mm-hmm. there's so much evidence again that corroborates that you're kind of like, all right, well, let me go back and let me try to study more about people who didn't like Jesus and were still there and in that time. And even they were like, we don't agree with him, but he was here and this really did happen. And yeah. you're kind of like, all right, I guess this is real. I should pay attention
to
this. Yeah. And so that was, I like studying that. Sorry, there's a very long explanation.
No, you're good. You're good. No, so you case for Christ it.
Yeah. 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 I like to really dive more into certain books and certain stories and what is happening. Why would he say this way? What does that actually mean? What does that mean to the audience that's happening? Mm-hmm. Like stuff like that. But I think when you said going to an actual Bible study and learning from pastors, learning from people who have studied this throughout their life and know much more than we know, that is the key. If you hoard it all to yourself and you're alone and you just listen to a podcast or you just read the Bible, you're only going to get a small portion of the picture.
Exactly. And if you're learning the wrong things, you don't have anybody to tell you, hey, whoa, you know, that's not what Jesus said, you know?
Well, it's like the difference between if I just want to go into the gym, I've never lifted a weight, and I just start lifting weights, I'm probably going to get hurt because I don't know the technique. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Right.
I need a personal trainer. If I have a personal trainer or I join a group where somebody's showing me the correct techniques and safety and all this stuff, my gains are going to be exponential compared to if I just tried to raw dog it myself the
absolutely
whole time. Yeah. And it comes to the same way when you're studying.
Mm-hmm. It does. It 100% does. You you mentioned the verse about the one sheep leaving the flock and leaving the 99 to go rescue the one.
Yeah.
And how that's not really relevant in our sense, you know. Funny enough, when I was reading the Bible, I had just came back from Syria, and I read that, and I went, oh, that makes sense.
Because you were in that part of the country.
I was in that part of the country.
You're like, oh, yeah, dude, they get real uptight about their sheep.
Oh, man, they get so uptight about their sheep up there, man. Yeah, they do. Yep. Yeah, you block the road while their sheep are crossing it, and they're all up in your face screaming gibberish. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah, it was just funny. That made me think about that, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Good. Different study habits, different things. There was another thing that hit me, and it was about, like, there's so much going on. And like you said, you were working too much. You have, you're trying to balance between work life and home life and have that good mm-hmm. balance. And I know a lot of people are stressed about economy and climate change and all these things. And there's so much worry and anxiety. There's more anxiety in the world than there ever has been. I read a really good book in the past few months, The Anxious Generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic book, but it's how, like, from 2010 to 2015, social media in and of itself produced so much more anxiety and mental illness than the entire history before it. And it's like, man, how do you cope with that? What do you do? Well, Jesus is right there. Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And again, yoke, what is that? That's the thing that they put on oxen so the oxen can carry the plow mm-hmm. or carry the thing. And it's like, you would have no idea what that means. So what he's saying is that, like, hey, you're carrying this cross. You're carrying this thing behind you. You're being weighted down by all this anxiety and worry. He's like, I'm here.
Yep.
Give it to me. Let me bear that burden for you. And, like, I'm almost going to start crying. Like, even just thinking about that, you feel the weight just lift off of you.
100%,
and you're like,
man. Yeah.
This is not, I can't do this alone, you know?
Yeah, and we can't. None of us can.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yep.
And that's part of it. It's like, I can do all these things, but at the same time, I need to let Christ take it. I need 100%. To let him help me out and do this, because that's what he promised and that's what he told. He's like, dude, come here, let me help you.
Exactly.
You don't have to do this alone.
Yep. Jesus Christ is reliable.
Yeah.
If
nothing else, he's reliable.
Exactly.
He's there for
exactly. There's, I mean, look at all the different, you can't see me, but I'm putting air quotes up, Messiah movements during the time of Jesus. So many movements of people claiming to be the Messiah, but what happened when they died? The movement died with them.
Yeah.
And
then
Jesus dies on the cross, gets resurrected, and the movement still, almost 2,000 years later, is still here alive, running rampant in today's society. You know,
anybody who can predict their death and resurrection and can pull it off.
Yeah,
you tend to want to listen to what they say.
Yeah. He predicted his death three times, and his disciples every single time were like, nah. Yeah, no, whatever, man, whatever. And then he actually dies, and like, oh, man. This dude was serious.
Yeah.
This guy don't miss.
Yeah.
He don't miss.
Yeah. And then even, you know, with Doubting Thomas, like, where he's like, is it really you? And he's like, well, right here, put your finger through my hand. Stick your hand in my side. Is it me? What, you know?
Yeah, literally. You still don't believe me?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And that's how I came to Christ, because I came to the realization that I was like, I was at my wit's end, and I was like, I can't do this by myself. Either I'm dead or someone's going to help me. And I dropped to my knees and I gave myself to Christ. I said, help me, help me, help me. I need you. And that was it. That was it right there. He took his hand out, picked me up. He said, here you go, dude. What'd you been waiting for? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all it takes, really. I mean, and some people, you're not going to feel this. You may not feel this overwhelming sense of peace or grace, but you will, And
it may not happen right away.
Exactly.
But you will.
And sometimes it does happen right away. And sometimes it's there and then it's gone. And sometimes you don't have it. And sometimes you do have it. But that's all part of the process.
Yeah. There's this cool old story I wrote down that kind of follows what we're talking about. And bear with me. It's a little longer. But, imagine we live in a medieval kingdom. And you and I, Hayden, are bums. Dirty, drunk, no good, drain on society bums.
No different than right now.
Yeah. But the king, man, the king is majestic. He is old and wise, just as fair, humble, generous, and powerful. Just a great king. The king sends out two knights on a mission to find you and I. Now, the first knight comes to me and he says, you disgusting bum. You smell like garbage. I demand you clean yourself up and get your life in order. Then, once you've proven yourself, follow me, because the king has a plan for you. Now, even though everyone on the block can smell me, I still deny that I smell. And just before I start to mouth off to him, the second knight arrives and finds you. He opens up his carriage and says, come with me. I have something to show you. Well, you get in and wave goodbye, and before you know it, you arrive at the castle. The king's castle. The king's own home. The knight shows you around, and man, is it amazing. He tells you the king has adopted you. You're now an heir to all of this. You don't deserve it, but the king has a lot of grace. And he loves you like his own child. In fact, his son went to hell and back to make this possible just for you. Now, based on the treatment we both got, which one of us do you think is going to want to jump up and shower first? And which one will really change how we live?
Huh.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
And that's my biggest gripe with the evangelists, with grace, with how, because there's so many people that come in and tell you, and are just like, wow, you're a piece of shit. Like, you need to figure your stuff out.
Yeah,
like,
you shouldn't be doing this.
You shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, you're going to hell because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the real thing, when Jesus comes and he's like, hey, man, just follow me. Like, let me show you something.
Hey, check this out. Look at this.
And just by faith alone. Yeah. Like, you didn't say anything. You just dropped it and you just followed him.
Like, all right.
And then the whole world opened up.
Yep.
The kingdom of heaven and everything. Like, isn't that wild?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Yep, that's real, because people, and it goes back to what we were talking about last podcast, about your works. People think, oh, I'm going to live such a pious life, that'll get me into heaven. Nah, there's only one thing that'll get you into heaven, and that's Jesus.
Yeah, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not by works. It's a gift from God.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Yes, it is a gift from God. And all you got to do is put your faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what really blew my mind the first, when I actually started reading the Gospels, because I grew up in a Catholic house, and where it was, you had to work for your faith, And then all of a sudden, I was like, wait a minute. I don't have to do all this stuff. I really don't. I mean, I'm gonna, because it's the right thing to do and I love Jesus.
Yeah.
But I really don't have to, as long as I love Jesus with my whole heart and soul. If you love Jesus with your whole heart and soul, then the works come. You don't love Jesus by making other people do the work. You love Jesus by getting other people to love Jesus.
Yeah, and that's the servitude, like we started talking about. That's it. It's not, you're never going to do enough good, like we said last time, to do it. It's, when they come up to Jesus and they say, hey, if I give this much and I do this much and whatever, am I going to get into heaven? And they're like, well, do you believe in me? Do you follow me? Well, yeah, I kind of. And they're like, well, then no, man. Like,
yeah.
You need to, that's like you had said, the parable when he's talking about, it's easier for or it's harder for a rich man, or
easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the
kingdom. And that's that arrogance, that's that entitlement, and it's like, no, man. They're like, well, I thought I had to sacrifice this lamb, you know, and burn the offering. Yeah. No, you have to love God above all else and love your neighbor like I loved you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm supposed to be able to, you know, take these out and help these people over here and do this thing. But they need to pay me and I need to get all that. No, man, you just need to love God above all else and love Jesus or love your neighbor like I loved you. And that's it. And there are 613 laws that just went
poof.
And he's like, it's just this one, man.
Yep.
If you get this one thing right, like, you're golden.
And the Pharisees lost their minds.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, Leviticus, forget about her.
you know the difference between a Pharisee and a Sadducee?
What's that?
Well, Sadducees don't believe in heaven. That's why they're sad, you see.
That's funny.
Yeah, but that's the primary. I thought it was cute.
It is cute.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, man. That's
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, the teachings of Jesus can go, you can take any facet out of the Bible and apply it to your life, and your life will get exponentially better. Like, whether you're a believer of Jesus or not, if you just read the Bible and look at it, look at the New Testament almost as just like a life coach, because I mean, Jesus was an ethical genius. And
yeah,
like, if you just apply anything to your life out of the Bible, your life is going to get so much better. It's going to get so much better. But we live in such a me society that people are like, no, I'm not going to do that just out of spite, you know? Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it comes back to the servitude.
Yeah,
that's it. As long as you're trying to serve others, it definitely comes back around. You know, the Hindus talk about karma and putting out good works and good everything. It's a similar principle, you know, but you're giving of yourself and you're serving. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And serving's hard. Serving is very hard. It really is.
Yeah.
Like putting other people above yourself. Because you said, you know, it's natural. It's human. It's natural human behavior to put yourself first.
To go in the negative, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, that was everything I had written down.
That's all we got?
Yeah. I don't know if there was more you wanted to talk about or...
I mean, we pretty much hit just about everything I could think of, you know, but...
For today, yeah.
Yeah, for today. But, yeah. Do you want to end her on a prayer?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to do it? All right, here we go. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for everybody listening and everybody gathered here today. It is said that if two or more are gathered in your name, then you are with them. And Lord, I know you're here with us today. Lord, I just want to wish everybody out there a peaceful evening or morning or afternoon or whatever time they're listening. And Lord, I just pray that you're with them in grace and that you look after everybody believes in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. In Jesus, like we say, be humble, be patient, be kind. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for another episode. Always stay positive. Always look to the light. And always remember, there is one love, and that is His. Peace be with you, and always with you. This has been a production of the 999 Podcast Network.